Amen. Well, let me invite you all to stand together this evening. We're going to sing Joy to the World. Wonderful singing. Yes. You may be seated.
Thank you. Sending hearts before His grace. and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descending. Comes our homage to yet born of Mary, as of old on earth he stood, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood, he will give to all the faithful his own self for heavenly food. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's magnificent music, isn't it? Such a wonderful thing to hear those old and familiar songs as well as some newer ones that express in such a powerful way the truth of the Christmas season. You know, as I was sitting there listening to the music, I couldn't help but think Christmas is such a nostalgic time. There's, of course, the music of Christmas. There's the warmth of family and friends who gather together. There are the trees and the lights and the presents and all the traditions. And of course, for many of us, there are the wonderful memories of childhood Christmases, bringing together that sort of overwhelming feeling of nostalgia. When you think about it, it really serves a purpose. As those of us who are made in the image of God, there is within our hearts a desire for true and lasting joy. I think that's really what our hearts seek in the nostalgia of the Christmas season. And yet, even though this is and should be a season of joy, for many it's not. For many, this is a season of sadness and emptiness and loneliness. And the reason for that is simple. It's because memories and traditions, as wonderful as they are, cannot sustain a deep, abiding, and true joy in the human soul. And so we really expect to satisfy that ache that only God Himself can fill with tradition, with memories. But it's important to understand that God intended that the birth of His Son would bring you, individually, great joy. I can say that because God made that very clear in the announcement of Jesus' birth that's recorded in the most familiar passage of this season, Luke chapter 2. Listen to what Luke writes. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. An angel and the glory of the Lord. In the Old Testament, that word glory is used most often to describe the Shekinah, the Hebrew word, that blazing light, that dazzling light that demonstrated the presence of God. That glory, the Shekinah that had last been seen 600 years before in the time of Ezekiel, suddenly manifested itself on that dark winter night. No wonder they were frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." The angel says God is announcing good news to all the world, news that produces great joy in all who actually receive it. So what is that good news? Well, here's what the angel said. "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That is the heart of the gospel. That is the heart of the Christmas season. And in that verse, that one declaration by the angel, there are three truths that I want you to think about with me just for a moment. Three truths about Jesus that when you really understand them and respond to them, will create in this season for you true and lasting joy. The first truth is simply this: Jesus came as a real man. Jesus came as a real man. The angel says, "For today in the city of David, there has been born." Notice the details about the birth of Jesus. Today, Jesus was born on a real day just like this one, probably in the year 5 or 6 BC. Had to be before the death of Herod in 4 BC. In the city of David, happened in a real place. In Bethlehem, just as the prophet Micah had foretold it 700 years before. There has been born. Jesus was a real human newborn. Most of us, in fact, I'm sure all of us, have seen a newborn child. We've heard a couple even tonight. And that's what Jesus was. He was real. You know, it's important to understand that the good news God was announcing that night is embodied in a person who has come in time and space. Because we are so far removed from the event of Jesus' birth, both in time, 2,000 years, and in distance, literally on the other side of the planet, it's very easy for us, and particularly if you've never been to the land of Israel, it's very easy to think of this all as a fairy tale, as some kind of a myth. But Jesus of Nazareth was a real man. He lived in a real place that you can still visit today. I've been there. Many of you have been there as well. He lived at a specific time in history. He is as real as you are and just as human. The point is this: you will only find true and lasting joy in this life, in this person, this real person who became a man. But that's not the only truth the angel proclaimed. There's a second truth that, properly understood and responded to, produces true and lasting joy. It's this: Jesus came as the only Savior. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. There has been born for you a Savior. I love that. For you. Jesus came on your behalf. The great reformer John Calvin, writing on this passage, says this: the pronoun you is very emphatic, for it would have given no great delight to hear that the author of salvation was born unless each person believed that for himself he was born. For you, there has been born for you a Savior. You know, if you've been attached to the Christian church at all, you've heard that word a lot, Savior. It's not a word we really use outside of the context of the Christian faith, but it's a very important word. What does it mean, a Savior? It simply means a rescuer, a deliverer. That was the heart of Jesus' mission. He came to rescue us, to save us. But of course, that invites the obvious question: why? Why do we need to be saved? What do we need to be rescued from? Well, the angel at an earlier occasion made that very clear, because when he showed up to Joseph in Matthew 1, he said, God has demanded, Joseph, that you name this child Mary is going to have Jesus. Call his name Jesus. Jesus in Greek is Iesus. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua, or in English, Joshua. The word Yeshua, the Hebrew word, or Joshua, comes from two Hebrew words. One of them is God's personal name, Yahweh, and the other is the verb to save. So Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh rescues. The question is, from what? Why name Jesus that? Well, the angel goes on to Joseph and says this: call his name Jesus, for because, here's why, he will save his people from their sins. We need a Savior because we need to be saved from our sins. Now, that is not a popular concept in today's world, but that's what we celebrate at Christmas time: the need to be saved, to be rescued from our sins. What is sin? What is that? Well, the Greek word for sin simply speaks of failing to live up to or to arrive at God's moral standard. That's sin. God has a standard, and we fail to live up to it. Now, let me ask you a question, because this is not a given question. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of rescue? A lot of people would say no. So let me just give you a little test. Okay, take this test and see how you do. You don't need a Savior if these things aren't true of you. Have you ever loved anything more than you love God? Have you ever failed to worship God in the way He prescribes? Have you ever used God's name or treated God in a disrespectful way? Have you ever neglected to gather with others on a weekly basis to worship God, your Creator? Have you ever been disrespectful to your parents or to others God has placed over you in authority in this world? Have you ever been angry with someone in your heart or acted in verbal or physical violence against them? Have you ever had sex in your mind or with your body with someone who's not your spouse? Have you ever taken something that doesn't belong to you? Have you ever lied or intentionally misrepresented the truth? Have you ever wanted something that belonged to someone else? Now, you recognize those, of course. Those are the Ten Commandments. Those are the summary that God gave us of His commands. And here's the bad news. If you have broken one of those, then you have sinned. And the truth is, all of us, without exception in this room, have broken all of those commands, and we have broken them repeatedly. You see, our problem is not that we're essentially good people who occasionally do bad things. Our problem is that we are sinners. It's essentially who we are. We need to be rescued from our sins. And the angel that night said to the shepherds, "This child will save you. This child will rescue you." He came on a rescue mission. He came to rescue us from the penalty of our sins, that is, the just verdict of God and the sentence that our sins deserve, as well as to rescue us from the power of sin. You see, only Jesus Christ can change you. Let that sink into your mind for a moment. People spend millions of dollars every year in self-help trying to change, and you've discovered, I'm sure, that that's not possible. Only Jesus Christ can change you, and that's why He came. Today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. Realize this, Jesus didn't come to rescue you from a lack of personal fulfillment or from the troubles of this life. The real problem that you have and that I have is sin. You see, we were made in the image of God, and we have a responsibility, a duty to God who created us and gave us all things. But like me, you are guilty of having broken God's law, and God is perfectly just. And as a perfectly just judge, He has to give us what we deserve. What is that? Well, again, this is not popular to say, but Jesus couldn't have been clearer. Jesus said what we deserve is eternal punishment. The good news is that He came into the world to be a Savior. How? How can a child who grows into a human man, how can he save us? Well, you know the answer. First, by becoming one of us. He had to become one of us. And then He lived a life of perfect obedience to God. He lived the life that I should have lived in my place. And then He was qualified to die because he didn't need to die for His own sins. He had none. He could die for mine. And He died suffering the justice of God against every sin I had ever committed. But for His death to be applied to me, you understand this, Jesus' death isn't universally applied. So who gets the benefit of that death? Jesus himself put it this way, you must repent and believe in me. In other words, you need to turn from your sin and rebellion, and you need to believe in me as Savior and Lord. There has been born for you a Savior. So Jesus came as a real man. He came as the only Savior. There's a third truth about this child in this statement. Jesus came with the authority and power to save. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Two titles. The first is the title Christ. It refers to the special deliverer that the Old Testament prophesied. Literally, the word means the anointed one. In Hebrew, it's HaMashiach, the Messiah. Translated into Greek, that becomes Christos, and then transliterated into English, it becomes the Christ. The angel was announcing to the shepherds that that baby who was born on that night was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises. Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ, the one specially appointed by God. He is the Christ. The angel added a second title, who is Christ the Lord. The most common use of that title in the Old Testament was for deity. And earlier in Luke, the angel told Mary, you are going to bear the Son of the Most High. So the Son of God came as the Messiah to rescue us. The reason that's important is there's absolutely no doubt that he has both the authority and the power to rescue us. He is Messiah, God himself. So you can begin to experience real and lasting joy this Christmas. Why? For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you that He became a real man. He became everything that we are except for sin. We thank you that you gave him a body and a soul just like ours, and that he lived among us, that he lived the perfect life of obedience to you that we should have lived, and then that he died, suffering your justice for every sin of every person who would ever repent and embrace him as Savior and Lord. Father, we thank you for such an astounding gift. May that be what we celebrate at this Christmas time. And Father, I pray for those who may be here tonight who have never come to know him. May this be the Christmas when they understand that he alone is the source of real and lasting joy. We pray to his name and to his glory.